Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Hair Radio.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Yeah.
We carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines, and I have a very special guest with us today. His name is Dr. Joel Freeman. Now, he is the founder, CEO, and president of the Freeman Institute. Dr. Freeman, I'd like to welcome you to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you, Kerry.
Absolutely. Now, first of all, we've got to start at the beginning. Tell everyone what the Freeman Institute is.
It's a company I started back about 21, 22 years ago, and we have eight arenas of expertise, and that ranges from workshops and retreats and keynote addresses to culture change, reality-based organizational change, and then I do executive success coaching. I do Black History and Diversity Day presentations, and I have a whole aspect that deals with entrepreneurship and business intelligence and creativity, and then do open registration seminar events for communities, and then also develop the Rosetta Stone Replica Project. The Rosetta Stone is not the language software company. It's the actual artifact that was used to crack the code to hieroglyphics back in the early 1800s, and the original is in the British Museum. It was made in Egypt on the west bank of the Nile. They found it in 1799. French soldiers did. But anyway, I have the world's first and only full-size three-dimensional replica that's available for the general public. And also have my own publishing company and other projects we work with. So that kind of gives you pretty much a quick overview of the Institute.
Sure. And tell the folks out there, where is the Institute located? And we'll take it from there in terms of what it's all about.
Sure. It's in Maryland, not far from Annapolis, Maryland.
Okay. And so I want to just let everybody know, as you were kind enough to just kind of give us a quick overview of the Freeman Institute, but when I looked at your website at freemaninstitute.com, I saw quite a bit of information, so many different things that really kind of piqued my interest, and I was just blown away, to be quite frank with you, Dr. Freeman. One of the things that we'll get into, there's so many different aspects, like I said, that we're going to get into,
But one of my favorite parts that I uncovered on your site, of course, like some of the, you know, on a lighter side, some of the quotes that you have there are just fantastic. And so, you know, I just wanted to let you know that I'm someone who gravitates towards quotes and things of that nature. So when I saw and I look at your kind of your long list of items that you have on your site, and I see that you cover kind of everything. You really do. And you outline it there. You put it there. It's a lot of work that has gone into this. You have some wonderful things that you're doing, obviously, in the way of education. And you have, you know, just some great things historical content, reference. And then my other part of this that I absolutely love is that you have a huge collection, so of artifacts and things that you know, that document the African American experience, or the African experience, I guess, if you were on some level. So, you know, we want you to walk us through just about everything. So, and then I'm going to end with the entrepreneurship, because that's another part of this that fits into a great deal of where we are today at the Hair Radio Morning Show and what we talk about quite often. So I've got a whole thing on that to kind of cover with you. So let's talk about this particular, before we even get into Annie Malone, which we will definitely get into, let's talk about I think I saw something that you had written, a documentary, if you will, on a white man's journey into through black America, I think it was. Why don't you tell the folks about this and how all this came to be, why this came to be, and how you got involved? Because I understand that you're from Canada. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I left it up leaving home when I was 17. I come from a little town of Three Hills, Alberta, Canada. And I left home at 17, just started hitchhiking all around North America, long-haired hippie, dope-smoking fool, and just traveled probably 5,000-6,000 miles on my thumb, pretty much all around North America. And then I had an experience that actually changed my life, that really caused me to revisit, you know, what my purpose was and what my goals were. I signed up for Bible school the next day, and
how old were you, if I may ask, at that point?
I was actually about 17.
Really?
I was 19 years of age. I'm sorry, 19 at that point.
Wow. Okay.
And then I ended up going to school. I became a pastor. I became chaplain for the Bullets, the Wizards, and the NBA.
Wow.
One of the first chaplains in the history of the NBA. And I started that in 1978-79 season. And
so then, what are the chaplain, for those of us who don't know, obviously we know what a chaplain does in general, but what did a chaplain for the NBA do exactly? Like, how does all that work?
Well, I'm actually writing a book about it right now called Finding the Open Man, subtitled The Surprising Benefits of Unselfishness. And basically, the whole idea behind being a chaplain is to be a confidant, a friend, someone without any hidden agenda, someone who keeps everything in absolute confidence and is just there for the guys, is not there to take but to give. And it's such a rare situation for so many NBA players, because most people have a hidden and sometimes not so hidden agenda. And so sometimes they don't even know for a year to 2 years what their real agenda is for some people that want to get close to them, either through their kids, their wife or family, parents. They try to get through to the player. And so I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do it. And so I just knew I could love these guys unconditionally, and I could be a listening ear. I didn't always have the right thing to say, perhaps, but I could at least listen. And I think that over 20 seasons, I mean, there are 6 coaching changes, and generally speaking, a new coach brings in his or her new people, you know, depending on the WNBA or NBA or whatever. They just clear the deck and start with their own people. And to have survived six coaching changes, I still shake my head. It's remarkable to me that that even happened. But it was a great ride. Got to know a lot of players and their families, and that, in a nutshell, is what it's all about.
So you probably I also understand that you used to get a lot of questions from these guys, and that's kind of what also helped to prompt you and kind of push you forward with getting to have a deeper understanding. So what kind of questions did they pepper you with?
Well, what happened is of course, you can imagine, when I was 25 years of age when this happened, and my first year, my first season, and I've always looked rather young, and you can imagine I probably looked about 16 or 17 years of age when I was 25. And so they're looking at each other and saying, "You mean we're supposed to spill our guts to that guy? You got to be kidding me." And so it was earning their respect. But I think that they were testing the seams of my soul and trying to, and the sincerity of my heart by asking questions. And it's probably unconscious. I don't think it was a conscious grilling or anything like that. But over time, they began to ask questions like, you know, what did Jesus look like? What part did people of African descent have to play in biblical and extra-biblical history? Just questions like that that I found that I did not have the responses to. Heck, I didn't even know what questions to ask. And so what happened is that little by little, it forced me to start researching so that I could have some type of a credible response to them. Then you fast forward. That was my first inkling, real inkling, that I needed to grow and expand. I never was interested in history in school, but that got me started. Then you fast forward to about 1995, I met a gentleman by the name of Don Griffin. He was the senior HR manager for a company, and by that time in 93, I had stopped pastoring and decided to take my pastor's heart into the business world, so I launched my own company called the Freeman Institute. And at that point, I was at his job, you know, working, doing some events for his senior leadership team. And between sessions, Don began to share with me his journey as an African-American male growing up, and some of the latest revelations and understandings he had about himself, about history, and it fascinated me. So I began to study some of the things that he was saying, began to research. I had that much respect for him. And I remember going to the library time and time again. There's no internet at the time. And I just would get these, what we used to call VHSs or videos.
Right, remember those.
And so I'd bring home a video, let's say, a series called Africa, A Voyage of Discovery by Basil Davidson. Is a BBC series, a man from Great Britain. And then I'd pick up the Eyes on the Prize, Part 1, Part 2, The Promised Land, about the move from the South to especially the Chicagoland area. And I just began to read books, and then I bumped into Ivan Van Sertima. And I remember calling him up. Someone gave me his home phone number. I called him up, and I said, you don't know me, and I barely know you, but I would like to get to know you. And what happened is that he began to share things with me, and then he got my address. The next thing I knew, 3 weeks later, I got a big, huge box of his books that he edited and wrote. And then I called him back and asked him if he would become my historical guide, my main historical guide. And we spent hours on the phone together where I'd read a book, and I'd redline it, I'd ask all kinds of questions, and he let me to ask any off-the-wall question that was ricocheting around my little pea brain. It was just a fascinating experience.
Wow.
We had a great time talking. He's passed away now since 2009. And I miss him, you know, on many levels, but especially just hanging out with him on the phone, just talking with him about various things, bouncing ideas around. So that kind of was the genesis to, and then I met a gentleman by the name of Mark Mitchell, who has a huge Black History collection, and Mark and I began to talk, and I just saw the power of his collection. The impact it had, it is a transcendent quality, transcending race and gender and generation and religion, class. I mean, just fascinating. And so I began to, he became a mentor of mine, and I began to develop my own collection, which is now well over 3,000 pieces. The oldest piece dates back to 1553. I've been able to do exhibits at the United Nations twice. And plus, they've used some of my pieces and information on international exhibit that's going around the world right now. Clinton Presidential Library have done things in conjunction with the White House communication staff. Also, Secret Service, 4 years in a row, FBI. Just fascinating stuff that
Wow.
has emerged as a result of this collection. It's opened up doors. And I find that, especially when I'm speaking about diversity or Black history, it opens up the minds and hearts to receive what I have to share, because when people see 20, 30, 40 pieces of my collection and exhibit before I speak, you know, now they're intrigued. What's this? What's this white guy all about? What's his deal? You know, what's motivating him? And that's the cartoon bubble above everybody's head. And so I'm able to respond best I can to that. In fact, I have a website called whitemansstory.com. That white man's, no apostrophe on the S, man's, but whitemansstory.com. And that's my online response to that question that people have about, you know, what motivated me to get involved.
Well, I also want to talk a little bit more about this amazing collection that everybody is talking about, of course, that you indicated, you know, over 3,000 pieces. I think I saw on your video or somewhere where it even had like the shackles, if you will, for like that some of the slaves may have, you know, worn or what have you, in addition to so many other different things. What are some of the other standout items that are included in the collection? And I understand that it is online to some degree.
Yes, blackhistorycollection.com. Gives kind of a brief overview of some of the pieces, but it's blackhistorycollection.com, singular. And, you know, that one pair of shackles that I received, I was over in Ghana at the Slave Coast Castle, and I was talking with a gentleman there. His name was Stephen Donica. And I began to share with him a little bit about, you know, the film that I had co-created with Don Griffin and the book and some other things in my collection. And then I said, how would it be possible for me to get a pair of shackles, a set of shackles from here, from Africa? And he says, I don't know, but I'll find out. And he brought everything before the village elders there, and they voted unanimously to donate a set to me, which he sent to me, and I just blown away that they were that kind, and because I'm sure it's not an unlimited number of shekels they have available, and for them to do that, I just feel so respected by these the individuals who voted on this, and of course also Stephen Danica, and so the other pieces I have. What I've tried to do, Carrie, is to develop kind of a more of a global picture, because I find that here in America and in some parts of Canada also, there's this intractable black-white situation where it's very hard to understand, to cross that no man's land, or so to speak, between the two races. And so I tried to bring more of an international view. And because I really think that once people begin to realize that there were things going on in South America, in fact there's well over 3 million that right now that speak Spanish and Portuguese, people of African descent in South Africa. And many people can't imagine that and cannot understand it. But it just is, I have documents going back to 1553 from Peru, from Ecuador, from Argentina. Some of them are written in Old Spanish, so that even if someone knows Spanish today, they cannot even read these other documents. You have to have a specialized understanding about the Old Spanish script. And these are all slave documents. I've got an 11-page document from a hospital where slaves were, if they got sick, that's where they went, St. Bartholomew. Just outside of Lima, Peru, and it's just an astonishing thing. And then also what I've tried to do with the collection is I tried not to spend so much time documenting the horrific nature of the slave trade and all the rest of it, even though that's a part of the picture and is a necessary part of the picture. What I've tried to do is to showcase the inventiveness of it, and the creativity of people who have been under the boot of slavery and the trade, and you know.
And what have you found,
Jim Crow
for the most
laws.
Part? Right.
Well, what I've discovered is I developed a metaphor that is not new, but I've applied it to this situation. It's called Blades of Grass in a Concrete Jungle. I commissioned a 90-second animated video that people can see on YouTube, Blades of Grass in a Concrete Jungle. And the concrete is a metaphor for all the horrific things that have happened, ranging from lynching, the black code laws, and the depression where blacks were hired last and fired first, and just so many issues that it's impossible to exaggerate the horrific nature what people endured. But then we talk about the blades of grass who came up through, cracked through, and sometimes exploded through the concrete. So the thicker the concrete, the more inspirational the story. So by using this metaphor, it gives permission to talk about the horrific nature without it being a downer. Because then, as I mentioned, the thicker the concrete, the more inspirational the story. Once we begin to understand how terrible it was, and then we see the accomplishments of individuals in spite of how terrible it was, my goodness, I say, you know, man, I think I've got problems. You know, I mean, here's an example of somebody who had everything stacked against them, and they still made something of their lives and an inspiration to their families. I mean, we all have concrete internally. Stuff like, you know, hey, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I can't make it, I'm a fraud. You know, if people really knew what I was all about, that's the stuff that echoes in the minds and the hearts of just about every human being. And at one point or another, that can actually rob them of their purpose and their potential.
Right.
And so that we all have that internal concrete. I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too tall, I'm too this, I'm too that. My ears are too big, my ears are too small, my hair is not enough. You know, all that kind of stuff that gurgles around. But then you add to it the systemic issues in a culture that provide external concrete that actually can become so terrible and so demanding of a person's attention that it can actually cripple them and come rolling over them and just say, well, I guess I'm nothing. I might as well commit suicide. I might as well do something harmful to myself so that I sabotage my own success. But here are people that came up through it in spite of it. And that to me is, I just shake my head. And every time I see pieces from Annie Malone and Madam C.J. Walker and Frederick Douglass and Toussaint Louverture and other individuals, Marcus Garvey, I mean, the list goes on and on and on of individuals, Pearl Bailey. It just is astonishing to me what these individuals accomplished. And so what I've tried to do is develop a touchstone, if you will. For instance, like Pearl Bailey, I have the actual check that she was paid for her part in Porgy and Bess. And
really?
I'm not going to tell you how much it was, because someone might say, how much was that? I'm going to say you have to go to blackhistorycollection.com and do a search for Pearl Bailey, and you'll find out how much she was paid for her part in the movie that came out in the early 50s. And so it just is amazing when you think of what people like her accomplished. I have Ethel Waters, her contract, her book, His Eyes on the Sparrow. It was a smash bestseller. And I have the actual contract signed by her and her co-author, the one who, the ghostwriter, not the ghostwriter, because he was declared that he wrote the book, but co-author with her, Charles Samuels. And then I have other items in here.
Well, Dr. Freeman, was it hard to kind of gather these items? How do you find these items? I mean, is it easier nowadays because of the Internet, I guess I should ask?
It's actually very difficult. If someone were to embark upon a collection like this
right
now.
Right, if I were to start a collection today, I don't think I would be able to do it.
Be virtually impossible, and I'm not kidding. It is. Wow. I know what's out there and what's not out there, and it is the stuff that you get now, just reproductions, and there's a lot of fakes, and it's very hard. For instance, I have an original letter, handwritten letter by Frederick Douglass. It's almost priceless because where can you find one? You know, someone might say, "Well, I've got everything." No, you don't. You don't have a handwritten letter by Frederick Douglass. You know?
No, and that's huge.
Someone like an Oprah or you name the names out there of individuals that would be interested. I mean, if they went out to look for it, they couldn't find some items that I've been able to bring together.
Wow. Well, I have to say, let me just remind everybody and kind of bring everybody up to where we are. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, today's guest is Dr. Joel Freeman, and he is the founder, CEO, and president of the Freeman Institute in Maryland. And we've been kind of following along and just thoroughly impressed with the amount of information that you have. You are truly a historian in every sense of the word, and an entrepreneur, and you just cover everything, really. I don't think I've seen anybody in a long time like this who we're all blown away with this kind of information, this knowledge, and the willingness that you share, putting it out there, and it's quite remarkable. So I'm going to kind of turn to, I do want to talk a little bit about Annie Malone and some of the other folks that you write about. And I know we kind of glossed over the book a bit that you wrote with the gentleman, Don Griffin, I believe.
Don Griffin, yes.
So I want you to talk about the book specifically. Tell the folks a little bit more. Are we able to get a copy of this book?
Yes, it can be gotten online on Amazon or anywhere else. And or they can contact me after the program or something like that, and I'd be happy to sign a copy for them and send it to them.
Sure.
Right. But
it's called The Return to Glory. I just want to make sure that that's clear, Return to Glory.
Subtitled The Powerful Stirring of the Black Man. And the first half is all about the historical content, and that's the half that Don wrote. The second half has to do with the mental, emotional, spiritual roadmap to wholeness. And in that last part, I detail how a person can walk through the grieving process. Because I remember when I was interviewing people for the book, especially because the book is targeting especially young men, ages about 12 to about 27, and while we were researching this, we had people tell us, "You're crazy. You know, why would you want to write a book? Because if you want to hide something from young African American men, you just put it in a book, right?" That's what they're telling us. And they said, "You're wasting your time. You got to use more visual, music, whatever other means and methodologies to reach your target audience." But we kept on going with it, and I'll tell you,
which is a horrible stereotype all in it, unto itself.
It is. Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that was the messaging message we were getting from people we were interviewing for the book.
Right.
So anyway, what happened is the second half deals with the mental, emotional, spiritual roadmap. And so what I did is you can imagine, on a suspicion scale from somewhat to extremely suspicious, we're banging on the extremely suspicious end of the scale when I'm interviewing someone, let's say, for the book. And they're saying, you know, why are you writing this book, and who are you, and what are you all about? And so what I did is I asked a question that changed the tone of every single interview and brought some of us from some interviews from 45 minutes to sometimes 4, 6, maybe even 8 hours, some dear friendships emerging. And here's the question that changed the tone of every single interview. Do you remember the moment when you realized that because of the color of your skin, that the rules were somehow different for you? Now, by asking that question, to have a 65-year-old man pause, look out the window, and then look back at me, and then tell me with brilliant clarity what happened when he was 5 or 6 years of age, knowing remembering the weather, what he was wearing, his mother's response when he told her about it, and just, my goodness, that question changed the tone, because I began to then see that there was a whole grieving process. After that moment, whether it's 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 or 12 or 19 or 20 years of age, depending on the situation, to then go from that moment to what Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote when she was still alive. She wrote a book about the grieving process. And grieving, we've all lost loved ones or lost a dream, but grieving is all about loss. And so the loss that I began to identify, because my PhD work is in psychology and I think in that direction, began to see that the loss had to do with, it was the loss of innocence. That all of a sudden a young kid, a young boy, young girl, a young individual, suddenly it's like the scales have been taken off. It's like the blinders have been taken off, and they now can see, wow, they hate me just because of the color of my skin? You got to be kidding me. And then the grieving process, ranging from denial to depression, just all the different aspects that go with the whole grieving process. And in the book, I spend a chapter on each layer, each aspect of the grieving process. And of course, it isn't a neat, nice and tidy while I'm moving from one part to the next, and never to be revisited. But a person could be in whatever acceptance means, you know, because who knows what that means. A person could be in acceptance at 4:30 in the afternoon and be back at square one at 7 o'clock that night and working through the whole process again. So that began to really unlock to me the doorway, the gateway to understanding what humans go through in a situation like this. And it had an astonishing impact on me.
Well, you know something, Dr. Freeman, I have to ask you, and I think this is about as good a time as any. When you see all of the things that are happening in the country in these current times, and you being a person of faith and education and all the above, and what can you say, and how do you explain it? What are your thoughts on it? I'm just curious.
Well, I think that humans are humans wherever we go. In other words, if you're a Korean in Japan, you're going to be experiencing some crazy situations. If you are let's say a gypsy in Hungary or in Sweden, you're going to be experiencing situations that are very, very difficult. And if you're from one tribal system or another tribal system, warring against another tribal system in Africa, very similar dynamics. Same color of skin in all in these accounts, except Korean and Japanese might have just a variation of the color of skin. But and also in Mexico, if you're darker skin or lighter skin color, the darker skinned individuals deal with incredible discrimination. In Italy, if you're from North Italy versus South Italy, in Great Britain, just the sound of your speech, if you're from Yorkshire or Scotland, and you're talking with someone who is from London, you know, from a certain part of London, there's immediate, the moment the person opens their mouth, there's an immediate class system that emerges. My point being is that for me, I think that wherever we go, there's going to be this kind of situation. And I think it's important for us to understand the history so that we never repeat it, you know, personally. Let me tell you a quick story. I was down at Los Alamos National Laboratory some years back, about 7, 8, maybe 10 years ago now. And I was doing their, speaking at their Martin Luther King event. And I talked about the moment, and I talked about the grieving process. And there was a gentleman there who was very high up at Los Alamos National Laboratory at the time, a man of African descent. He came up to me afterwards and began to share with me his story a little bit. And then after he shared with me his story, he said, you know, he says, when I experienced the moment, when I realized because of the color of my skin that the rules were somehow different for me, he said, it was like a hurricane force wind came against me. He was no more than about 6, 7 years of age. And he said, in fact, by the way, when you think about a hurricane, it takes about, 75 miles per hour for a wind to get a name. And he said that what happened is that I learned as a young man how to lean into the wind. I learned how to have a sense of humor in the midst of the wind. I learned, it was a dark sense of humor, but I had a sense of humor.
Right.
I learned how to be successful in spite of the wind. I learned how to have relationships with people in spite of the wind, but I knew the wind was there. And he says later on, he says, I rose pretty high in the ranks. I got a job in Japan. He said, I went to Japan and got a tour there, and he said, the moment I got off the airplane, he says, wouldn't you know it, the wind stopped. And remember what I said about the Korean and Japanese. If you're Korean, the wind is at about 120 miles per hour for you. But as a man of African descent, he said the wind has stopped for him. About 3-4 weeks later, there were a delegation from D.C. came to visit, and he said they met at a restaurant. And he said within the first 5 minutes, he said, at the restaurant, he says, I felt the wind pick up again. It was just crazy and strange. Then he looked at me. He's a no BS kind of guy. He looked at me straight in the eye, and as serious as a heart attack, he said, for some reason, I don't feel any wind coming from you. Now, Carrie, I don't know. It just struck me so incredibly hard what he said to me. And I thought, I got in the car. I mean, we're I had to get to Albuquerque to get on the plane to come back to Baltimore. A couple of times I had to pull over because I was crying so much, because it meant so much to me. And I just, at that point, you know, I began to pray. I began to talk to God. I said, I never want to be a person who sponsors the wind for my wife, for my kids, for my next-door neighbors, people at church, people wherever I go, and be in cross-cultural situations. I don't want to be a sponsor of the wind. And not if, but when I do sponsor the wind, I just want to be man enough to go to that person, whoever it might be, and ask for forgiveness and apologize. And repair as best as I can. Now, I think that is a metaphor, if you will, for how things can change. It's one by one, people reaching out, and in spite of the pain. Henry Nouwen wrote a book called The Wounded Healer, and I think that's what it's all about, that in the midst, in spite of our wounds, in spite of the history, that we all seek to understand before seeking to be understood. That's what Augustine said in the 4th century.
Wow.
Seek to understand before seeking to be understood. Those are words worth embroidering. But
I love
that. Cool about that statement is that it doesn't preclude the need to be understood, but it's all about understanding. And I think if every one of us, within the sound of my voice, myself included, if every one of us over the next 30 days said, I am going to seek to understand before seeking to be understood with our spouses, with our kids, the next-door neighbors, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I think it could have a profound impact on our on the quality of our lives, on our experiences, and the impact on our work experience, everything that we can imagine. So that's,
wow,
that's what I think it needs to happen. And so every pore in my, every bone, every tissue in my body, every cell in my body, I want to be committed to that. I want to be committed to impacting other people, like the hot coal principle. The old days, we had the hibachi grill, and you put the briquettes in there, and there's only one or two that are hot, and then you kind of bring the other ones that are cold, you bring them up next to the hot ones, and you hope they catch fire. And so I just think if we can get just some people that are hot coal, briquette coals, and with this message, and little by little, you know, the whole purpose behind the collection. I hold things lightly. You know, that collection, the whole purpose of the collection is to help create an opening in the hearts for people to hear this message. And
wow,
my book, the books I write, you know, everything is all designed to help open up doors and hearts, minds to these kinds of things, to get out of small-mindedness, to kind of move. We can't deny the pain, but it's kind of like a ratchet wrench. You know, a lot of people view the click, 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 you know, the backwards movement.
Right, right.
Just as that, a backwards movement, backwards movement. But actually, when you think about the purpose of the ratchet wrench to loosen a bolt or tighten a bolt, when you do the click, 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 that's an important part of the whole purpose of the ratchet wrench. What's my point? The point is I think sometimes we just need to take a step back, take a look at our pain. Click, 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 and when it's uncomfortable, turn the music off, turn the external stimulation off, and just confront the pain. And we might have to do it in counseling. We might have to do it reading books. We might have to do it in prayer. In a lot of different ways we deal with the pain, but we all have to do that click, 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 and take the step back. But really, that step back is not a backward step. It's a forward step because now we're ready to confront the issues in our lives, to deal with people out of respect, mutual respect. It's not me trying to be black or someone else trying to be white. It's just saying, hey, I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm not going to diss my own people. I'm not going to tear my own race down. I'm just going to be who I am. And I'm going to allow you to be who you are when you come into that 5-foot zone around me. And so that's what it's all about, I think.
Wow. Well, I think you put it eloquently, I have to say. Let's talk about just turning a little bit over towards the entrepreneurial part of things. And I love how you really, I have to say, I read a little bit closely about some of the items in terms of you helping corporations and helping folks in terms of diversity and all kinds of different things and customer service and just teaching and being there to help guide folks. I was just quite impressed with all of that, Dr. Freeman. So I want to kind of just talk for a moment, and maybe we need to start off by recognizing the impact of an Annie Malone, of C.J. Walker, and then kind of talk about entrepreneurship in just in general terms. And then I have something I want to mention to you, but why don't we start there? Why is it so important, and it seems like all these things are connected when I think about, you know, the Freeman Institute. It seems like all of these things that you do, there is a theme, there is a purpose for all of these different aspects that you tackle. You do a lot, and you say a lot, and there's a reason, I believe. But I'd like for you to talk to that a little bit. You know, about the entrepreneurship and Annie Malone and all of that. Why did you decide to include Annie Malone as part of your wonderful site and information?
Well, Carrie, you are right. There's no more than 2 degrees of separation between any two things that I'm involved with. In fact, what I did is I think it's important for everyone to do this. But I figured every major corporation or organization, faith-based, nonprofit, for-profit, whatever, most every successful organization has a vision statement, mission statement, core values, code of conduct.
Right.
And I figure why not everybody else? Why not individuals develop that? And so what I've done is I developed my own vision statement, my own mission statement, my own core values, and I detail that in the workbook called "If Nobody Loves You, Create the Demand." It's a book about entrepreneurship, about taking the idea to the marketplace. It's a book about discerning the difference between a viable business dream and a nightmare as quickly as possible. And it's also developed so that an organization could create an entrepreneur club so that people can learn how to deal with objections and learn how to deal with rejection. Because if people can deal with those two things, especially learning it young in life, they can be successful in whatever they do, objections and rejection. And so I think that when it comes to entrepreneurship, see, one of the things that I want to do is help community-based organizations and faith-based organizations establish galleries, black history galleries in a community. And I think that a gallery can become, in fact, if someone goes to blackhistorygallery.com, blackhistorygallery.com, they can learn more about this model. Because I think the Black History Gallery can become like a town well for a community, where people can learn about morals and values and just entrepreneurship and so many different aspects of what it means to return to glory. And so then what happens is that as a person learns about entrepreneurship, in fact, I think especially with, let's say, an organization wanting to mentor youth, you know, if you come at a young person with the whole idea of morals and values, they're going to be gone in a New York second. But if you come at them with the idea of how can we connect now with later, you know, where do you want to be down the road 5-10 years from now? And what are you doing now that will connect with 5-10 years from now? And, you know, if what you're doing now doesn't connect with 5-10 years from now, then we need to revisit what you're doing now. And we can do that in a very positive way and begin to understand that the future is a connection of the eternal now, you know, the moment, these moments that we connect together that become the future. And so I think it's important to bring a group of young people together, let's say, and say, let's have an entrepreneur club. And by the way, let's develop an entrepreneurial business together. And I developed a whole magazine project around that that's going crazy around the country right now. And let's develop a project so that you can learn how to deal with objections and rejection. And then you can learn how to shake a hand firmly while you're looking squarely in someone's eyes. You can learn how to dress in a manner that's going to be one less speed bump for someone to go over to get to you as a person. We're going to learn how to just the way we communicate, what we say, how we say it, when we say it, time, tone, tact. We're going to look at all these different aspects. We look at your values, your morals, your character. But you see, all this stuff gets slipped in through the side door. And it's along the way, all this stuff becomes introduced because, you know, if you want to be successful, if you want to make more money, if you want to be a person that has a greater purpose in life and attracts people to you, your counsel is in demand, you have to start looking at these other areas. But if you lead with that foot, the other area foot, it's going to drive them away. But if you lead with the foot, you know, of success and entrepreneurship, because we're all either going to be an employer or an employee. And I prefer to train up employers, people with an entrepreneurial mindset that can end up hiring 100, 1,000, 10,000 people down the road and provide jobs for families. And that's the kind of mindset I like to prepare people for, and so that they're almost not content for anything else but that.
Exactly. Well, I love that. I really do. And that makes a lot of sense to me. Speaking of which, I see that you have the video there. I didn't get a chance to discover that before we began to chat today. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the Madam C.J. Walker items that you have. And I believe they're part of your collection. Or tell us a little bit about that and how did you, you know, we'll turn to the hair part of it.
Okay.
How did you get that and talk a little bit about that. And I'm looking at your video, but I don't have the sound up. So, you know, walk me through a little bit of what all of that is about.
Well, Madam C.J. Walker, most everyone has heard of her. And because when I'm in a crowd, let's say 1,000 people, and I ask, how many here have Madam C.J. Walker? And hands go up everywhere. She's an incredible person. She fought against lynching. She gave money for fighting against lynching. She went to Washington, D.C. to help create legislation against lynching. She was a woman of great character who helped to develop entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs. And yet, the question I generally have in a situation like that is, okay, what well did she draw her water from? What shoulders did she stand on to become who she was? And so I bumped into Annie Malone. And hardly in that same crowd of 1,000 people, you might have 99% of the folks raising their hand about Annie Malone, about Madam C.J. Walker, but then you might have three or four people saying they know who Annie Malone is.
Right.
So I figured I'm going to make it part of my life mission is to help help people know about who Annie Malone is.
Yes.
Because she
Yes, go ahead. Go right ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. She was.
Oh, no. She was an incredible person. She was actually, she trained up over 75,000 women entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
She trained Madam C.J. Walker in 1905, and Madam C.J. Walker became a Poro agent, because that was the name of her college, Poro College. She built this beautiful building in St. Louis, Missouri, four stories high. It looks. I have an original book that people can get off Amazon if they go to parocollege.com. And Poro College, it's just very simple. The first word is four letters. Poro, P as in Paul, O as in Ocean, R as in Ralph, O as in Ocean, Poro, like P-O-R-O, college.com. And they'll see this building, and then they'll also see a booklet that she published back in 1926. And a part of my Black History collection, I have an original one of those 1926 booklets. There's very few of them around. And when you open up the booklet, the first thing you start looking at is how incredible this building is. It's like it's straight. If I just showed you a picture of some of the rooms, you would swear it's out of Wall Street, New York. And this particular building was a building where she trained up, as I mentioned, over 75,000 women entrepreneurs who she gave cash awards to for saving accounts or home purchases. She gave a diamond ring to them after 5 years of service. Her philanthropy toward them and toward others was legendary. This building is just an incredible place that she created for this. She owned a whole city block in Chicago. She paid, imagine this, 1926 alone, she paid over $40,000 in taxes. Just think about that.
Amazing.
One of the first
Amazing.
People in the entire state of Missouri to own a Rolls Royce. And
who was actually the very first self-made female African-American millionaire? Annie Malone, or was it, I mean, not that it, you know, is something we should, you know, compare on any level, but I'm just curious because I've always grown up thinking it was Madam C.J. Walker with all of her, you know, things and accomplishments.
Yeah, from all the research I've done, if I were a betting man, and I'm not a gambling man, but if I were, I'd bet the farm that Annie Malone was the first millionaires of African descent, female millionaires in the country.
And that's what I'm getting.
Timing.
Why? How on this earth? I try to figure this out as well. How did? And I love Madam. I love both and all the things that they
no
stand for.
They're both are wonderful. Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's not even part of the discussion here.
Right. Exactly. But how on this earth did Madam C.J. Walker take all the things that she learned, which I'm sure was a wonderful tribute to Annie Malone, and seems that only America, it seems like we only remember or know of the accomplishments of the student as opposed to the teacher.
I think a lot of it had to do with Annie Malone. What happened is that she ended up getting married in, I think it was 1924-ish, right around there. And what happened is that after she got married, her husband, he was not a very good man. And he caused such incredible problems for her that I just shake my head. And felt that he was due so much more than and they ended up getting divorced, let me put it that way.
Wow.
And from that point on, what happened is her business became, she was a very, if you look at her building and everything that she did, it was incredible, impeccable, you know, clean, it was orderly, it was, I mean, you could see the record system she had. My point being is that this was an incredible person. But once, after the wedding, then what happened is that he began to sabotage everything. And she never recovered. Then the IRS got involved, and she never recovered from that at all. Here's a college that employed, in 1926, 175 people with franchise outlets in North America, South America, Africa, the Philippines, a wealthy, wealthy woman. And then at the end of her life, she pretty much dies destitute. And all that's left right now is the orphanage, the Annie Malone orphanage, that was a facility on Good Avenue. I don't know if you remember the song Johnny Be Good by Chuck Berry.
Yes,
he
of course.
He grew up on Good Avenue, right around the corner. And that's why the spelling Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D-E, in the song, it comes from that Good Avenue.
All the time, I thought it was just Johnny Be Good, G-O-O-D. So,
yeah, G-O-O-D-E. If you look it up on the Internet, you'll see that's how it's spelled.
Wow.
And he later became a beautician under the Poro system. He graduated in 1952 because he thought the music thing wasn't going to work. And so he became a beautician, and of course his songs just took off, and you know, he never went back to it. But
right, amazing. So okay, well that explains a great deal for us on that, because I was just curious. I'm really sad to understand that she had that kind of a ending. But you know what? I always like to remind folks, and it always seems to me, that it's always those who are incredibly talented and creative, and they always attract a certain kind of the opposite, if you will. I don't know. It just seems very strange to me. But anyway,
some people make great personal choices and bad business choices, and other people make bad business choices.
It's the opposite, exactly.
Good personal choices.
Yeah, that's amazing. Exactly. Well, listen, thank you so much. This is great. Folks, if you've just joined us, we have really been kind of getting a great education, a great understanding of so many historical elements and things that we kind of knew a little bit about, or we kind of heard about, and some of us have read some things, but not others. So we're so excited to have the gentleman behind the Freeman Institute. He is the founder, CEO, and president, Dr. Joel Freeman, and he's with us today. And this is just, I'm still kind of stuck on the 3,000, more than 3,000 pieces that you have in the Black History Collection. I can't wait to come and see that. So I'm very, very excited.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited
about it. Sure. So this is just wonderful. And we're going to tell the folks again, why don't you do that, Dr. Freeman? Tell the folks how they can reach you, how they can find out the items that they really need to focus on some of these. I mean, you have quite a bit of information.
Well, I think if people can go to blackhistorycollection.com, and then at the very bottom of the page is all of my contact information. So then I'd be very happy to talk with them if they want to order a book, a film version of the book, Return to Glory, the entrepreneurship book, anything at all, or just want to talk maybe about something in there that they have a collection or a few pieces and they're wondering about it. I'd be very happy to talk with people. And so that's probably the best way, blackhistorycollection.com.
We're going to, of course, stay on top of all of this and bring you back, Dr. Freeman. We're going to keep, we've got you now. And there is a whole lot of this that we're going to delve into on a regular basis because this is something that's so critical and important for us to have a greater understanding about. And I feel so honored and lucky right now. I feel so lucky that I've been able to come across your information. I'm just very grateful. Now, I have to say, before we close out, I had mentioned this at the top of the interview. I love the quotes that you've assembled. I don't know who wrote them, but I just love them. And these are just a couple of them that I just said, oh, wow, how great. Patience is not waiting. It's how you act while you're waiting. So that's one. I love that. And I think that says so much. And my other favorite that I seem to just picked up again from looking at, I started at freemaninstitute.com, and I saw this, and it's like age doesn't always bring wisdom. Sometimes age comes alone. I just love that. That says it all. So I want to just say you are just extraordinary. You're extraordinary.
I'm an expert in this or that. I'm not an expert. I'm just a student. And so I'll always be a student learning.
Wow.
Like someone once said that you can't learn with your mouth open. It's just more of a situation, you just really want to. I'm always someone that I want to just learn, because generally speaking, you aren't learning much when your lips are moving. And so I want to be a person who listens at least twice as much than I speak.
I
did a lot more speaking today than I.
Well, that's
than I
okay.
Like to do.
that's exactly what I was about to say. It's okay when your lips are speaking when they're educating so many people, countless folks who need to hear what you have to say. So I am so grateful. Now, are you on social media? We need to find out. Are you on social media at all?
I'm on Facebook. I've got about 16 pages. In fact, there's a page called Black History Collection. It's the only one on Facebook. Got over 10,000 followers on that. And got some very, very cool stuff on that. And then, of course,
well, you're about to have 10,001.
It says Black History Collection right on the Facebook page. And then,
sure.
Of course, I have my own personal Facebook page, and I'd love to connect with anybody. And then I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter and who knows about me and all
okay.
that kind of stuff that's out there.
So we can find you. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I'm going to have you back, as I said, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Well, do you have any closing thoughts? You've been so kind to just share your perspective on all of this and just someone who has done so much. Do you have any closing thoughts or words of inspiration or encouragement?
Well, I do. I think, speaking of the hair and beauty industry, I just see how Asians have pretty much taken over, and I'm not mad at them. I think they just took advantage of a situation that was open and available. I've developed a 10-year plan on how African Americans can take back the hair care and beauty industry, starting from the top down and the bottom up. And I think Annie Malone figures very much into this. I would love to see this booklet get into every beauty parlor, every beauty salon, every barbershop in the country, and have people learn about Annie Malone. And then I'd like to see the most senior people in the hair care beauty industry from the old guard companies, the new guard companies, come together. In the first year, not even deal with business things, just develop relationships. to take a look at the elephants in the room, to walk through all of that, to deal with that, and then have a united, just not a united front necessarily, even though that's important, but united, just be united and to really become good friends and understand how important this is. And then in the second year, start developing manufacturing and then distribution. And little by little, I think that there's a whole willing audience built around Annie Malone's story that could be wide open, because people will not buy black just for the sake of buying black. They want to buy something that is a good price, that's easily available, it is distributed well, is manufactured well, and you just check all the boxes off, and then someone will say, okay, now I'll buy whatever that product is. If it happens to be black, that's what I'm talking about, is to create a whole industry that can, because without the if the consumers are trained and understand what's going on, I think, and then there's a product and manufacturing and distribution all set up in place to deliver it, I think that within 10 years, the whole industry can turn around and it can become something that's well within the African-American community. But I think Annie Malone is the key for all of this.
Well, I just want to remind the folks, and the book that you're talking about exactly, the title and how we can get our hands on
that
book
again. Madam Walker's Role Model. It can be found on Amazon, eBay, but if they go to, if someone goes to Poro College, P-O-R-O, Paul Ocean, Ralph Ocean, porocollege.com, they can see how to order it. And I think it's such an important piece of history. You know, Carrie, I reached out to the leaders in the hair care beauty industry, and only found two or three that even knew who Annie Malone was. And I said,
exactly.
That this is an important thing for people to learn about her, so then they can begin to reanimate her legacy.
Well, I'll tell you something. It starts today. Dr. Freeman, I want to thank you again for being our very special guest right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're going to have you back to kind of, you know, continue this wonderful conversation. I think it was a great start, and you've helped to peel back just a little bit for us. And we've got some work to do. We've got some work to do. So we're going to have you back. Well, listen, I want to thank you again, and you, please remain on the line, Dr. Freeman. I'm going to close us out here, and we're going to chat. All right, folks, keep it right here. There's a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to come. Thanks so much, Dr. Freeman.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's Friday morning. It's November 12th of 2021. It's about 7:15 in the morning Eastern Time, 6:15 out in the Central Time Zone. So we're welcoming all of our amazing fans to the show. Now, I'm bringing back to the broadcast, which is, I guess, why I'm so excited this morning. This is a wonderful new addition to the Hair Radio Morning Show family and team. You've heard her commercial right here on the broadcast. We've been kind of playing it out there for the last day or so. And her name is Jossie. Now, she's from Jossie's Au Naturel Hair Care Company, I guess is the best way to put it. But we're going to have her to tell you a little bit more about it. And also, we've got some other things to share, some surprises this morning, and a lot to get to as we do. Good morning, Jossie. Good morning, and welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome back to the. I was afraid you wouldn't come back.
Yes.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Yes.
Good morning,
so it's
everybody.
So ex. Yes. Yes. Exactly. It's a good day today. It's Friday, and I wanted to give a little rundown. If you're just kind of tuning into the Hair Radio Morning Show, what is the Hair Radio Morning Show all about? I thought I'd kind of share that. Jossie's kind of just kind of, you know, getting the lay of the land. This would be a great time to kind of inform everybody. The Hair Radio Morning Show, we started back in 1995 with a just called the Hair Radio Show. And we were on AM stations and FM stations out of Newark, New Jersey and New York City. And then I literally syndicated the program myself down to Philadelphia. We used to come on Saturday mornings in Philadelphia. And down in Atlanta, I forget what day we were on in, out of Atlanta. And the show was just, it was really nice. And the professionals took the show over. The hairstylists and, you know, the barbers, they took the program over. First, we were just, all that we did was give tips, which are wonderful and amazing. And then they started, the more stylists started to kind of chime in on the broadcast and all of that. So we kind of, we've always walked a balance, which is not easy to do. Even at my live hair event, I've always combined, you know, professionals and non-professionals, but I shouldn't say combined. I've always invited everybody. We always have separate training workshops for both. So we don't mix them like that. We don't mix them both like that. But we invite everybody so that everybody can be part of the conversation about hair care. And that's kind of where we have, that's how we kind of got started. And I'm so honored. And about 8 years ago, I had, because I would always bounce in and out of radio and business and my former career in finance, as well as the airlines, but I would bounce back and forth. And about 8 years ago, I left my old job down one block away from where I still live here, from the studio here in Brooklyn, New York. And I've been here ever since as an entrepreneur working on this business. No other jobs. I don't get any unemployment. I don't have any. This is my safety net. This is the business that we do. I'm a true entrepreneur. I couldn't be any truer of an entrepreneur if I tried. Believe me. So this is a great, exciting thing to be in radio and to welcome Jossie to our family of advertisers and everything that we're doing on the show. So it's been a good morning. So I want to hear a little bit, and I'll fill you in. I'm not going to walk you through my 26-year career in broadcasting. We'll be here till you know, till Tuesday's show. So no, but I want to kind of, you know, I'll give you some tidbits throughout this morning. But first, I want to hear about your experience right here on our broadcast. First, it was a pleasure. If you guys missed Jossie's initial show, I think you were on, what day? You were on Tuesday's show? No,
yes.
You were on Wednesday's show. Wednesday.
All right.
Show
yeah,
number 629. If you get a chance, you can Google The Hair Radio Morning Show. Remember, it's five words. You put that into Google, The Hair Radio Morning Show,
it gives you a list of our shows. And you check out show number 629, and you'll hear Jossie's initial. And the reason I bring it up is because your mom was on the line with us, and it was just fantastic. Yeah, so I want to hear all about it. What did they have to say after the show, after the Hair Radio show premiere with Jossie?
So
what did they have
course,
to say?
Like moms do, she was all for it. She was so proud of me. And then my siblings, some of them were working, and of course, in school. So with the recorded session, I was able to go back and let them listen to it. And they were really, they were thoroughly impressed. My little siblings weren't too thrilled to listen to it at first, but then eventually when it kept playing, I could tell they were interested. They were smiling. They were interested in what was going on.
That is so, it is so heartwarming. It really is. And doing the show, it's a wonderful opportunity. It really is for everybody. It's a great thing. I love being able to share information. And we talk about everything on the show. And we've had such amazing newsmakers on the show. We've had so many wonderful celebrity guests, award-winning, you know. So it's been an amazing experience. And we're still growing. We're still growing as a broadcast, even after all these years. So today is show number 631. It's our 631st broadcast ever of this morning edition of the Hair Radio Show. So we're real happy. Not my entire career, just in the last several years, 631 broadcasts times 3 hours. So that puts us at almost about 2,000 hours of recorded hair radio talk in the morning. We're the most prolific hair and beauty talk radio in the world. There is nobody that comes close. We're the longest running. We've been on in some version for 25, 26 years of this show. So that's really amazing. And it's been a great journey. And now the journey has led to Jossie. So, yes, it has. So, Jossie, first, the folks who, you know, they're just kind of getting us getting on track today. Remind everybody about your business. Now, it's what I love about it, it sounds like it's all natural, but it's au naturel. Can you tell everybody about your business? Give us the name and all that you're doing out there that makes you be spectacular and a great guest.
All right. My business name is Jossie's Au Naturel, and I have started my own natural hair care line. Basically, I started with a product. I was having hair breakage, so I wanted to formulate a product that would help me to grow my hair without the harmful chemicals, because I realized that a lot of the preservatives and a lot of the products that I was using weren't too good in my hair in the long run. You put the product on, it feels nice, and then a few hours later, your hair is brittle, it's dry, it's falling out.
Yes.
So I wanted to find something that would, you know, help my hair grow just so I can retain length. So I started, you know, making different, like, shea creams and oils, mixing things together. And I put it in my own hair, and it started working. And by me doing that, my siblings and my mom were able to see, like, that the products that I was making were working. So then they eventually, you know, with prompting and my cousins and different ones, they wanted me to start my own hair business. So then that's where I kind of, like, got into formulating other products, getting ideas. I was going into research, and I knew I wanted to make a product that would be more universal. I wanted a product that would work for multiple hair types. I have different hair types in my family. I also have, you know, friends and family of different, like, ethnicities and with all different hair types. So I wanted something that would be, that wouldn't just be specific to one particular hair type. I wanted it to suit other races as well. So by doing that, I had to keep reformulating products. I had to get a lot of advice and just keep I ended up with, like, gallons and gallons of this stuff. Like, this wasn't easy. But eventually, once I found the right recipe, I was able to use that product and test it on different hair types. And so far, I can say that most of my products have been tested on hair types from 1AB to 4C. And I know that I have a variety of products, and I have at least one product that can suit all hair types, which is what my goal.
Amazing. That is amazing.
And, you know, Yes, it's been like it's almost like it's like a science lab. Like I just like going in there and experimenting and seeing what works and what doesn't and what people like and what they don't like and you know what product exactly. would do what for your hair. Some products are more for like curly hair types and they'll like enhance your curl patterns. Others are for like growing hair, promoting hair growth, or just retaining length. And then eventually, I did just recently, I started getting into donating my hair products to, I donated some products to an organization called Children with Hair Loss just because
wow.
I have a natural product, it's a gentle product, and I want to be able to use my products to kind of help those who are struggling with hair loss, those who are experiencing, you know, recovering from chemo treatment, and those who are just experiencing hair loss. Hair is very fragile when it falls out, and coming back in, sometimes it's very challenging to get it to grow back in. So,
right.
You know, I'm trying to focus on having a product that will, you know, essentially help people to be able to grow their hair, like, naturally and still be gentle so they'll feel comfortable using it in their fragile hair.
I'm loving this. Now, I want you to tell everybody, give us some of those, some of the product names that you have out there and, you know, talk a little bit about that because I think it's wonderful what you're doing, and I want people to be able to connect with your products and what you're doing and be able to go out and, you know, and get your products and support with, you know, your efforts. So, yeah, so tell
yes.
us, so what are, like, yeah, what are some of the wonderful product names that you have given, you know, your wonderful, what's the best way to say it? Your wonderful line of hair products? Tell us a little
yes.
bit more.
All right, so my top product right now is my rice water hair growth lotion. It's a hair lotion that contains like rice water, hibiscus, and different other ingredients to promote healthy hair growth. And that lotion is very good. Different people have used it, and it has helped thicken their hair and helped it grow back in. That's my number one product also because it's good for a variety of hair types. That's why that product has been, you know, the one that people gravitate to as far as
yeah.
different races and different hair types. They're more comfortable trying that one first. I also recommend it to people because it's a lighter product. It's a lightweight product. I tell them, you know, this is my most universal product. I, you know, have you try this first and see how it works. And then some of them even switch to a heavier product. And I have some leave-in creams. My products aren't really, really heavy, though, because I try not to – because heavy – products will eventually like weigh your hair down, clog your pores.
Exactly.
I try to keep them lightweight. So I know I have some leave-in conditioners. I do have that in men, women, and children. Well, it's, you know, it's general. It's for the whole family. I have.
And that's exactly what I was about to say. Your products, it sounds to me like you have already done something super, super big in which you've addressed the needs of folks, you know, the entire family. You're not just you know, providing hair, which is wonderful if that's, you know, for my friends out there in the hair business, if you're only focused on you know, providing, you know, hair solutions to women or to the men or whatever it is. And that's fine and dandy, but I love if your products are universal. And that was the word you used earlier. And so I'm very
yes.
proud, Jossie. This is, yeah, this is great stuff. Wow.
Thank
so now
you.
how do we get it? How do the folks get it? And I'm raising my hand out there this morning. So how do we get Jossie's wonderful all-natural hair care products?
All of my products are listed on my website. And my website, the name is www.jossies, that's J-O-C-E-Y-S, all A-U, natural, N-A-T-U-R-A-L-E.com. And that's where I have all my products. I have on there how to use it, recommended hair types. I have, you know, everything on there that you'll need to know before purchasing the product.
Wow. Now, did you hear that? Before purchasing the product. That is amazing. Because most folks out there in this business, and I've been around, as you guys have just heard, and we, you know, we don't see often where they give you all that info up front. They're more so in collecting up front. Then you get the details a little later, but it's maybe by then it's too late. So
yeah.
by taking this as seriously as you do, which is awesome, you know, I think it's just great. So listen, you're hanging out with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show today. So for a little bit, so we've got you. We're going to be checking in with you. I want to hear a little bit more along the way about what you're doing and some of the things that you're looking forward to doing. And we're kind of helping you to get acclimated to the Hair Radio Morning Show way. And just our wonderful fans from all over, literally all over the world. And our guests, you know, when folks come on Jossie, I always tell them, I say, listen, I say, wherever you have family or friends or wherever, they can all hear you on this broadcast. All you,
yes.
Wherever they are. I have folks who
tune in
all the way. It's really the truth. And they listen all the way over in Ghana, in Australia, in Europe, and other parts of Africa, and South Africa, and Egypt, and East Africa. So they're just about everywhere who tune into this show, not to mention other places. And I hate to say because I have folks who listen in Canada, and I never hardly talk about them. They listen in Italy. I don't talk about them. So there are a lot of folks who tune in. So I want to say good morning to everybody. And, you know, so we've got a lot to get into. So I think earlier when you kind of joined in, I think you were listening to some of the info about that Dr. Freeman was on. And this is a gentleman who he tells you himself, he's a chaplain. He's not, he's not from the African-American community per se, but he has put together a huge collection of artifacts that document and notate our history. And I thought it was just amazing. He's been a great guest. He's also written a book with another gentleman, and I put on their interviews from time to time. But Dr. Freeman is a great historian, and he's huge on he talks about Madam C.J. Walker, too, but he's usually much more interested, it seems, in Annie Malone, who was there's this huge argument, and I don't know if you're aware of it, but I'm going to fill you in this morning. On the Hair Radio Morning Show. There's this big argument where it's like, who was the first self-made female millionaire? And so a lot of us, we always hear, you know, long before I even got into the hair business, I knew who Madam C.J. Walker was because she was we had heard she invented the straightening comb, and we heard that she was the first female self-made millionaire. And that's all we heard. And that's all we knew. And now just everybody's a little bit more familiar because they have a Netflix series on called Self-Made about Madam C.J. Walker. And it's kind of loosely based. Let me just always toss that on in just in case you're just going to check it out. But the thing is, what amazes me is that I discovered this along the way, that folks have been arguing about this. Because a lot of folks, as I said, most of us, we learn about Madam Walker, but we had no idea that there was somebody before Madam C.J. Walker who had, you know, to me, started this whole hair industry game, so to speak, for Black America, and we had no idea. And her name was Annie Malone. And so that is something... And there are reasons why that history probably hasn't been so kind to acknowledge her amazing accomplishments as she has started Pearl, because she's just the whole history out there. And we'll talk more about her as along the way as well and all that whole thing. So, I mean, it really shouldn't matter who was the first so much. But we really got, I mean, there are folks who are Team Annie or they're Team Madam Walker. And Madam Walker trained under Pearl College or at Annie Malone's tutelage. So that's why folks kind of argue back and forth about it and so forth. And both of these women, in my eyesight, were amazing. And there were other women out there who came along and, you know, along the way as well. And made a mark, and we'll talk about them as we kind of move along as well. So I'm proud. I love, as you know, Jossie, you know I've talked about the hair industry and entrepreneurship until the cows come home. So folks love that because it's I love extending this business, the industry of the hair and beauty folks, and we support the fans out there. We're into this as like nobody's business. So I want to talk a little bit about more on your, you know, getting on your firm footing in the entrepreneur world. We'll get to that. I think I have something just to give us a little bit. We'll get take a quick little moment to put on something, and then we'll come back. And when we come back, I've got some things that I want you to talk about and some other folks I think you guys will appreciate. And then we have a little bit of music. It's Friday. Why don't we get on some music, and then we'll put on a little clip, and we'll be back live on the other side of it. Stay with us. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and again, my wonderful co-host for the hour, at least, this morning, we have Jossie, and we are so excited, Jossie. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. I think that's it.
Gotta be looking like red goo.
Oh, baby.
Lit up like a crystal ball. That's cool, baby. So is you. That's how I roll.
If I'm shining, everybody gonna shine.
Yeah, I'm
gold. I was born like this. Don't even gotta try.
Now you know.
I like shouting naked better over time.
Now you know.
They just say I'm not the baddest chick you like.
All Natural. Have you been struggling with keeping your natural hair healthy or desire to achieve substantial hair growth? Then Joss's All Natural is here to help you. My natural creams, conditioners, lotions, hair mists, balms, shampoos, and detanglers are gentle enough for the whole family and all hair types. Not only do I provide natural hair products, I also give step-by-step techniques to ensure healthy hair in a pure and gentle fashion from roots to ends. Come on to visit me at www.jossiesallnatural.com. That's JossiesAllNatural.com for a true natural hair experience like you've never had before.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
This is Queen Treat, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hunt.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Terry Hunt. Now with me, I have a very, very special guest. We're talking about industry superstar and legend, an absolute legend in the hair and beauty industry, the one and only Mr. Bernard Bronner. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's your first time joining us.
And it's such a pleasure to join you.
Thank you. So now hold it. Let's jump on in. And I have to tell everybody, you guys are hearing some of the wonderful background sounds here in New York City because we are actually out and about. Just had a wonderful opportunity to sit in one of our favorite new places here in Manhattan. So, Bernard, though, I want to talk about Bronner Brothers. Let's just kind of bring everybody up to speed. Now, you guys, of course, we're looking ahead to what's next for Bronner Brothers. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. This is year 75 for us, and we do several things as a company. The number one is we make products. We make the BB family of products, which is Tropical Roots, African Royale, and just BB products. Then we do the world's largest multicultural hair show every 6 months. And I also, on the side, do Upscale Magazine, which is one of the few magazines. It's only Upscale and Essence now that are on nationwide newsstands. So Upscale is 31 years old now, and due to COVID, we had to postponing of issues, but we are now back on the newsstands all over the country, and we look for a great year for 2022.
Wonderful. Now, talking about the amazing Upscale Magazine, as you just so clearly pointed out, what's one of the biggest things that you want the message to be about Upscale and reaching out to the community?
Well, I'm second generation Bronner Brothers, and the first generation, my daddy always felt like, he always used to say that a community is no better than the people in it. So he did all kinds of things to help develop the people in the community. And as a second generation leader, I've taken that even further, and I love helping the community. One of my pet things is creating jobs. I've always felt like that is the worst thing can happen, a person lose their job. I've always said that once you lose your job, you next will lose your house, then they'll come take the car, then the family will leave you, the kids will leave you, and if you can't even afford to feed the dog walks away. So
wow.
you don't want to have to be in a situation where you have no financial income coming in. So I have always loved providing jobs and helping people become entrepreneurs and finding that they can it's just a joy in helping people. So that's one of the missions that I have now is, like I say, I want to be known as the person who understands what our community needs and gives it to them. And like I say, my number one thing is providing jobs.
Wow. That means so much right now. I mean, you know, we're coming out of this period, let me just put it that way. We're forging ahead with amazing new opportunities. I see so much on the horizon for Bronner Brothers, for Bernard Bronner, and all that you're doing. And I'm just very excited. And I'm going to announce this. I'm going to just go ahead and put this out. We are launching Upscale Magazine Radio. And you heard it right here, folks. What can you tell us, Bernard? What do you think this is going to be about?
I think it's wonderful. So we're going to be working together and launching for 2022 Upscale Radio. And it will have a lot of hair radio interviews and a lot of hair radio, hair celebrities.
Exactly.
And it's going to be just awesome for 2022.
Awesome. Can't be any better than that. Now, I just want to say this, Bernard, and I appreciate you taking time. We never have a whole bunch of his time because you're a very, very busy man, and I so appreciate this in-person meeting, which we do so rarely here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But what can you leave us with today? What words, like, you inspired me as you... You know, I said this off air. I said it on air. Bronner Brothers certainly has led the way. None of us really would be here. You know, you guys are a big part of the whole entire black hair industry. But what kind of advice or inspirational words you can leave us with today on the Hair Radio Morning Show?
Well, the biggest thing is we have all survived 2020. Which means we are now tough and we can survive any and everything. So now that we've got all of the experience and have lived through a pandemic, we're tough. And I know Bronner Brothers and Bernard Bronner, we are going to show out for 2022 because we ready now.
All right.
Yes.
On that note, I want to thank you so much for being with us, and we look forward to all that you guys are going to be bringing to the table, as always. The one and only Bernard Bronner from Bronner Brothers. Who in the world doesn't know Bronner Brothers? Thanks so much, Bernard, for being with us.
You're welcome.
All right, folks, keep it right here. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
All right, we're back live. You are tuned in. It's Friday morning. It's November 12th of 2021. It's our show number 631. Show number 631 as we broadcast. We're here in Brooklyn. I'm out here in Brooklyn, New York. I want to bring back to the line a wonderful young lady who's, this is really her, you know, her debut week on our broadcast. Her name is Jossie. Now, Jossie, you are in the Northeast. You're not up here in Brooklyn, where I am. Where are you? Remind our listeners out there where you are based.
Hi, so I'm Jossie, and I am based in the Philadelphia area.
Awesome. And you're the proprietor of Jossie's All Natural Hair Care, which I'm loving this whole thing because initially when we talked, you talked about natural and natural products, natural ingredients, I think is the best way I was trying to, what I was driving at. Can you tell us again? And then we're going to kind of move the conversation because I want to talk a little bit on some entrepreneurial, you know, creating a mission statement, all those wonderful things that you've had to do, and that I'll give you some tips if you haven't done it yet, folks out there. But, you know, so let's just talk about that for a moment. Why is it so important to use good natural ingredients in your hair products?
Well, the reason being is because natural is simple, natural is pure. And just like anything else, like the foods we eat, you know, the natural things are the things that are more healthy in a say. And for our hair, a lot of the products do have natural ingredients. A lot of natural products have natural ingredients. However, when you incorporate the preservatives, which are the chemicals, that kind of defeats the purpose of having the natural ingredients. So what I've done is I've taken it to a different level I take the natural ingredients and I use very little preservatives. The preservatives I use are natural preservatives. I've actually researched different natural preservatives, the different effects they would have and how they would respond to the hair because I wanted to keep my products, you know, as authentic as possible.
Yes. Well, it sounds like you've done you've done just that. And Jossie, while we're on the subject, why don't we remind everybody about your website one more time?
Yes. So my website, I can be reached at www.jocesnaturale.com.
All right. I'm loving this. Now, I have to say, I don't know if you heard the piece that just aired with Bernard Bronner, speaking of products and hair products and all that. Bernard Bronner is a legend. He's from the famous Bronner Brothers family down in Atlanta, Georgia, where, you know, they have the biggest black hair show known to mankind, you know,
mm-hmm.
really.
Yeah.
So, which was really what was my impetus for getting into this business and really being a part of it. Not looking at it as a money grab, just, you know, really sinking my teeth in and being great friends and just making a difference in the world of hair and beauty. And so so folks have always pitted my company, because I also do live events, my Hair Nation Expo is well known up here, and what folks have always tried to do is pit us against Bronner Brothers, which to me is foolish and crazy. You know, I owe everything to Bronner Brothers, really, because they were the ones who did it first and so and did it well and continue to do things out there. And I'm a big supporter. Bernard came to my event way back several years back, along with Madam C.J. Walker's great-great-granddaughter and all that. So I learned a lot from these folks. And for his business, you know, he's also out there with Upscale Magazine after 30, you know, all these years, decades. So for him to trust my company at Hair Radio, you know, I'm a producer of Hair and Beauty Talk, and just for him to take us on to develop his magazine radio show, the Upscale Magazine Radio Network, which is what we're working on for next year. And I'm so honored. I mean, it's huge for me to do, you know.
Yeah.
So you know, 26 years ago. Yeah, well, it is. And I used to just sit and dream of working with all of these incredible folks that we've had a chance to get to know. So it's been great. It might have taken a few decades to get here.
Yeah.
It really did. But we have arrived. You know what? What is that saying? Slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah, wins the race. Yeah.
And that's the key. And it really has. So listen, I want to talk to, I promised on the mission statement stuff. We're going to start. First of all, let me just say that Jossie's going to join us. And Jossie, you come on and help us and join us like a couple times a week, we're hoping at least. And
yeah,
I want to talk about some – okay, that'll be fine. And I want to talk about, as we start to move forward, some of the things that are helping you to be successful out there. And it's my pleasure and honor. You guys know I have a book called How to Get Rich in the Hair Business that's out there. It's on Amazon, everywhere else. You can Google that, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. And I give a lot of tips in that book, but we're also going to be talking about them right here on our airwaves. So I'm real excited. And, Jossie, I've got something I have never done on the Hair Radio Morning Show, and that is to give out some gifts. I've got some gifts, yes. So I'm going to figure out what's the best way to do it. And my suggestion is to tune in. And guess what, Jossie, we're going to figure out a way to do it so when you come back on Wednesday, you'll be on Wednesday's show.
Yes.
But our next broadcast is Tuesday. We're live like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm live. On Monday, I just kind of tell folks to, you know, we'll do a repeat. But we're here live on the air Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday mornings from 6 to 9 in the morning Eastern time. Jossie's going to be with us on Wednesdays and Fridays, as she mentioned. I think this is going to be great. And what we'll do, I've got some gifts. So our listeners, when they tune in, I've got some special things that I'm happy to give out right here on the show. So I think it'll be really nice.
Okay, that's a good
and
idea.
All we've got to do is, oh, it's going to be fun. We're basically there listening. And what I normally do is I give out a secret word of the day. That's what I normally do. I give out a secret word on the airwaves. And that secret word, if all you have to do is give us the secret word and you'll qualify for our free gift, and I think it's really nice. So we'll talk more about it next week, and I think you guys are going to love it. So really good stuff. Along, you know, we got a lot of other stuff. Now, also, we have some special guests joining us. Yeah, we got folks. Now, speaking of events, and I know, I'm like I said, I'm up here in Brooklyn, New York. My recent hair shows have been down in South Jersey area. But what I'm doing for this next local type thing, I want to bring some of our events back up my way up here in the Brooklyn, New York area. So I have a wonderful Valentine's Day. It's actually a two-day Valentine's celebration event. But it's a hair workshop, hair and beauty workshop. So we have a lot of guest speakers, some heavy hitters in the hair business and beauty business and all that wonderful good stuff who will be leading workshops on hair care. And they're going to do it for the professionals and separately for the what I call the enthusiasts, our amazing fans and folks who just love being around the hair folks. So so we have separate workshops for everybody, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. It's February 13th and 14th. February 13th and 14th is on Eventbrite, so you guys can go to eventbrite.com. And we're going to be hosting all of the different workshops. Right now we just have the two-day special, and they give us a huge discount. It's at a Hilton property, Hilton Hotel property. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous place in downtown Brooklyn. And they give us a huge discount for the rooms if you go to stay overnight from Sunday into Monday. All of us will be down there staying at the hotel. And we'll have a lot more information we'll be sharing with you, and we'll keep you guys informed. And we want you to come up here for that, Ms. Jossie. Okay, we're not going to have it any other way. All right. So listen, so this is kind of great. Now, what, any big things that you're planning to get into over the weekend, and, you know, for this upcoming weekend? It is Friday.
Actually, today is the first day I started my Black Friday sale early, and it's going to go until the 29th of this month. Yes, I did. So I am going to be hustling. I have a lot of products already in stock, and I'm just going to be working on just having there, you know, just having a mass production, not a mass production, but enough in stock for, since I have my sales on, and I want people to be able to, you know, purchase my product at a reasonable price and then use it and to see how they like it. I feel like starting it early is a good idea, just so
it is a
more
great idea.
So they know.
And
they
Jossie,
know
I'm here. Can you let us know how that goes and just remind everybody? So please, folks, take advantage of this. The other thing I want to do with you, especially since you run a successful hair products company, you know, what I'd like to do is to begin and begin with your business. So I want to do like maybe on, I think Wednesdays are a good day for us to take a close look at different products and, you know, we can kind of highlight folks' hair products and stuff. So let's start with your company and your product line, and we'll talk about, you know, we'll do a product Wednesdays or something, you know, and just help the those who are tuned in to get some of that wonderful tidbits and knowledge and find out where they can get some great prices and great products. And I think you're a great person to start with all that. So
Perfect.
It's been my honor. Yes. So did you have fun this week on the show? Did you really?
Yes,
did you have fun on the Hair Radio Morning Show?
I did. So the first two shows I've ever done, but it's not
really?
As easy as I thought. Yes, I've never done any type of thing like this. I'm not very, I'm kind of reserved, and I was really scared to do this for a long. I've known Carrie for a while, but I was just really scared to take this step. But with pushing from my family and different ones, I decided to take that extra step, and it's not as bad as I thought, which is great.
Not at all. And let me tell you something. You are a natural, okay? I guess that's why your company's so natural. You're a natural, really. You really are. You're quite fitting
Thank you.
And I told you, and I have to tell you, Jossie is wonderful on many levels, not just that this is a new venture that you're taking on, but also that you support business and support our community and support me and support, you know, she came on board. She was one of my amazing vendors from one of my hair events, and we had to go through all this crazy stuff because of the pandemic. And you have been right there every step of the way and just been as kind and patient and supportive. And that, to me, represents the best in entrepreneurship and the best in business and the best in our community. And so I wanted to reciprocate that. So we are great, very grateful to you, and we're happy that you're taking the time out of your schedule to come on a show. You're helping folks even more than you know.
Yes,
you are helping
folks
more than you know, and you're inspiring persons, because just in tackling this, this was not in your comfort zone. So just that you've tackled this, and you know what I mean, and you've added something to your repertoire. So, you know, you're not just an entrepreneur making amazing hair products and connecting with folks, but you're able to connect with them on a more intrinsic and deeper level, and I think you're going to do just fine. So we look forward to having you next week. So
Thank you. So
next Wednesday, Jossie, you'll be back around in our mid-show, so around 7 o'clock next Wednesday. And
I
think that'll be nice. Yeah, and then we're going to talk about what we got planned for Thanksgiving. So we're going to get into some of that talk next week as well. And maybe you can give, you know, some of the products and talk a little bit more about what they should be getting from you to wear to those Thanksgiving dinner meals and all that kind of stuff. So we have a lot of that for next week, okay?
Yes.
So
we're
going to let
Jossie.
Yeah, oh, me too. Well, I'm going to get into my, because I used to have a deep fried turkey business, so which I know I've done a lot. So we'll share all that next week. Yes, I did that too. And we're going to give some of my favorite recipes and talk about all that kind of stuff when we got some time on the show. So Jossie, I'll go ahead. Enjoy your wonderful couple days. Okay, we'll see you back here next week. And folks, keep it right here. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. I've got something interesting that's right around the corner. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now my next guest comes to us from the world of music. It is my honor to welcome the one and only Louis Martinet to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Good morning,
Hello.
Louis.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing just fantastic. I've got to tell everybody, you are truly an innovative producer, songwriter, and I call a visionary also. You created the popular girl group Exposé and so much more, and we're going to get into all of that. And they were the first to have 4 top 10 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 charts. From a debut album, that is. And I just want to say welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
Yes. Now, listen, the style of music or the genre is largely known as freestyle music. So I'm going to kind of jump on in and start there. Would you be kind enough to explain to everybody how you describe the phrase freestyle music?
So the best way I can describe it is when disco kind of hit the wall and everybody was hate disco kind of thing, there was still a need for dance music. So I started, playing around with the new electronic equipment that is just coming out at that time in the early 80s and, started writing songs that were, different than the disco but still danceable, And then I did a bunch of songs, and then I put a girl group together, like you said, and there was actually a first generation of them, which is called Alejandra, Lori, and Joya. So that was the first generation. And then we had some problems. The girls didn't like to travel, and they wanted to kind of do their own thing too. So they actually in California found Jeanette, which is the next generation. So they actually helped me out in finding the next generation. So it wasn't a bad fallout or anything. It was kind of like a mutual thing that, that we were going to move in different directions. And they say, hey, Louis, there's this girl that sounds just like Ali, which sang Phone on a Return. That's short for Alejandra.
Right.
And her name is Jeanette. So I flew to L.A. and met her, and then we signed her, and then I signed another girl named Ann Curlis, and then another one named Joya. The first generation is, I made a mistake, it's Ali, Alejandra, Lori, and Sandra. That's the first generation. Then the second generation is Jeanette, in this order, Jeanette, Joya, and Ann. And that was, just to be clear, I like to be clear with my, I threw in the wrong name in the first generation.
Well,
I
was going to jump on in and, because, and that's really important. And I saw that and I said, because I think one of the individuals, I believe Sandra, I think it is, I think she passed away. And I just wanted to say, and there was so much that went into all of that. And I saw and read all about your relationship with, working with Clive, from Clive Davis, from Arista and all of that back in those times and working with this, these amazing women and just being such a creative force. But I want to go back a little bit, Louis. I want to ask you about the beginning because, you always had music inside of you in some capacity or another. Can you tell the folks, now, where are you from, and how did you get into music to begin with?
Well, I was originally born in Cuba, then moved when I was very young to California, and I started playing in bands. We actually put bands together where I played percussion, and we used to rehearse actually in my mom's and dad's garage, and we used to practice there all the time and then do little parties and stuff for free. We weren't good enough to charge, so we did the parties for free. but we loved it, we just wanted to perform.
Absolutely.
Then I started actually DJing. And then I met some people that had a studio, And I was in another band where I was playing drums at this time. It was a rock band, and then this guy Frank, he had a recording studio, a small studio in a warehouse. And since I'm a DJ, he says, "Oh, you record music?" I goes, "Yeah, I record music. I write and record." So he says, "Great. So come over and do some music." So he thinks I'm gonna do dance music, and I'm doing rock music. So he was like, "Oh, well, that's not what I was expecting." But then I ended up starting to do the music, and back then, believe it or not, it was called hip hop.
Really?
Latin freestyle. Yeah, the Latin freestyle that you know was called hip hop, and then rap started taking the name over and calling it hip hop. So then they changed the hip hop to freestyle now, Latin freestyle. But in the very beginning, in the early 80s, it was called hip hop. The Latin freestyle was actually called hip hop. But then it kind of. So that was it. Yeah, that was kind of like a unique little thing there that happened.
Absolutely. I was just thinking as you said that, and I remember even some of my research I saw in New York where we had Hot 97 or whatever, and before that was known in the hip-hop world in that way. It was like a kind of devoted to freestyle type music, so maybe there's a lot more to that. Very interesting, I really have to say. So that's how you kind of got your foray into working with the studio and getting into music and all of that. And I saw where you guys, where you had created the, you know, a music label. But what was it that was the beginning little impetus that said, hold it, let's pull together an act. Let's find or create an act. And I know you were working with others, but how did that, was that your idea to kind of pull a group together?
Yeah, I kind of like actually thought of Three Girls because I always liked the Supremes. Wow. And I went, you know, I should do a girl group like the Supremes, Three Girls, and I'll name them Exposed. At first it was called Exposed. And then the labels didn't like Exposed, so we changed it to Exposé. So if you
and
if
they
you
both work. Let me just officially say that. I'm going to tell those folks. They both work. I love both.
Yeah, both names are good. But if you remember back in late 83, early 84, mm-hmm. it was Exposed for a couple of years.
Mm, okay.
You know, and then when Arista signed the group, then we changed it to Exposé. So there was a single that was on my label that was Point and a Return. Those are still out there. I know people that still have them. So
the originals. Now you guys went in and re-recorded those songs, correct? With the next version of the group, is that right?
Yeah, we re-recorded not the music, just the vocals. The music was the same.
Aha! Uh-huh. Wow, I love this. Well, listen, I have to. There are lots of questions that I have to ask you as a producer, and I kind of want to go back a little bit. Folks, if you're just joining us, let me just break it on down for you. You're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very special guest with me today is Louis Martinet. Now, he is a producer. You are a writer, a producer. You're legendary to me in all that you have done with the amazing hits that you've had with Exposé and others. And you've worked with quite a few. And I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about it because, you know, when I think back, I grew up I'm in Brooklyn, New York now, but and our show goes all over the world. But when I remember back in the day and being growing up in northern New Jersey, so let me just make it clear because I think that was how I was introduced to freestyle music. And I mean, I remember, on the radio, and I remember KTU when it came along, and just nonstop music. The freestyle music was just everywhere. You couldn't escape it. But then when I look back, I said, well, you know, I'm kind of, how was R&B, tinges of R&B, was it? Because it seemed to have been kind of like a divided world as we moved along. And R&B was R&B, and everybody had their little tranches. But to me, when I listened to Exposé's music, I'm blown away with the R&B, the soul that goes through the words and the music and just the feel. And And I know that's awful to kind of, you know, you shouldn't pigeonhole or try to put things in different categories, because music is music, and there are no boundaries. And I just love, you know, and I don't know if I look at myself as the targeted demo per se, but I love what you guys, you know, what Exposé represented.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah,
so
thank you.
Great job to you. Yes. Absolutely. So now, was that, you know, and you say, and I think that's what it is, you say that you were influenced somewhat by the Supremes in terms
yes.
of girl groups and all of that. So could that have, I mean, I hear a lot of wonderful, wonderful, you know, kind of different feels and different genres in those songs that speak to everybody. So that wasn't necessarily purposely done. You were just doing what was inside of you. How did that, you know, how did it feel to reach so many people across so many different, you know, genres or spectrums? Or, you know, how do you look at that? Or do you have that, you know, do you feel the same way? Or
yeah, no, I tried. I tried to let the thing is that I'm influenced by a lot of different genres. I love R&B. I love hip-hop. I love rock. I grew up with rock. I played rock originally before I DJed. I played in rock bands in California, and then when I got here to Miami. And so all those influences, you know, they come out when I'm doing music, you know, really without meaning to. You know, so yeah, like you know, and even the Beatles, you know, and groups like that. I get some influences from without knowing it. I later notice it, but I don't knowingly do it.
Right, exactly.
So,
loving it. Well, now, Lewis, I want to ask you about Exposé, and I also you know, back in the day, I didn't know until I was doing a little deep dive research, but that you had also worked with the Cover Girls. And I had, so, you know, but there wasn't, I always thought there was this huge competition thing. It was either you were in the Exposé group, fan-based group, or you were in the Cover Girls. It was rarely that you were in both. So how did that come about? And I think I was reading somewhere how you felt about it, but share with everybody. You know, do you recall any of that and working with the Cover Girls
of
that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and other girl groups that I worked with that I actually created was another group called Sequel. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes.
And, so we're kind of like all friends, you know, Andy Panda from New York. He put together the Cover Girls, and he said, hey, you want to do a song for them? I go, sure, you know, and vice versa, you know, we work on with each other, you know, we kind of like, you know, and we're all kind of, you know, friends and work together with, you know, like there's other great producers like Arthur Baker and things like that, that you know, that do great music. And we kind of like, you know, we helped each other. We didn't, you know, like
there was no
try to. We helped each other. Like if they needed to use a studio, they can come to mine, and vice versa if I go to New York and all that. So yeah, we worked together. You know, we didn't have any animosities. So it's kind of like, you know, the better they did, the better maybe I would do too. You know, so helping. Yeah. So.
Well, I have to tell you.
It was good.
It was good. I have to say, you know, I started putting on my little thinking cap here, and I said, I remember interviewing only one other freestyle artist, and, you know, I've interviewed a lot of folks, but I remember, and she was just the most kindest, gracious young lady I had pretty much had ever met, and that was Little Susie back in New Jersey. I remember she kind of came to the radio station and did an interview. I was at an actual station back then, And I just have to say, you know, so your genre, the freestyle genre was represented incredibly well, incredibly well. But then,
yeah, all the artists, yeah, they were all great. They were all very, very nice and you know, and helpful. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
like I said, it was great working with a lot of artists that I work with.
Well, I can hear that, Lewis. You have that kind of personality, though. I could just tell you could work with anybody. You know, I can hear it. You have such a, you know, just down-to-earth, and easy to relate to, and, you know, and I'm sure that was, you know, what was communicated throughout your music and your endeavors and all of that wonderful good stuff. So now I want to turn to, you know, inspiring folks, and I know you guys had a lot of hit records. You know, how did it feel to have those top 10 hits, you know, and this is on Billboard's top charts, if you will. You know, was it considered, it wasn't so much crossover, I don't think, but it crossed over, I think, to a lot of different areas. I think we talked about that. But so how did that feel? And also being inspiring so many other folks out there who, you know, are now kind of, dance music is big, or it's huge. So how do you feel about that, and what's your take on all of that?
Well, the Billboard, the some of my product crossover into the pop. I actually had, like you mentioned, when we first talked, Seasons Changer was number one on the top 100, number one on the R&B also, and other charts. So it kind of like, you know, different genres that had jumped. And other songs also did the same thing, and you know, that also led me to work with artists like Jermaine Jackson, Jermaine Stewart.
I saw the one that you did with Jermaine Jackson that I think you had originally intended for the other artists to record. And then, which is a great song, by the way. I listened to it even this morning. I'm like, wow, this is an awesome song. Many, to me, your songs, these are not just, you know, just dancey dance songs and just put them away and forget about them. They actually stand up and, you know, in time. Like, I said, wow, this is great. I mean, quite frankly. And I said, you know, to me, these songs can be re-recorded or re-released and all that wonderful good stuff. Do you feel the same way? Do you feel that they've, like, stood the test of time?
Yeah, I think so. I listen to them all the time. Like I like you said, I listen to Feel the Need, the one that I did for Jermaine Jackson.
Sure.
Yeah, I love that song. And
I remember that time frame because he had put out Don't Take It Personal and all of that. I remember that. And which project did you do for Jermaine Stewart? I love Jermaine Stewart. I'm a big fan of his. You know, we lost him way too soon.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Which project did you work with Jermaine on? Jermaine Stewart. Do you remember that?
Yes. I worked on. I did a dance remix to We Don't Have to Take Your Clothes Off.
Really? Probably the one I was dancing to.
I did a dance remix to that came out really, really good, I think, you know, and it played in a lot of the clubs dance remix.
I have to give you credit on the remix. I don't know if folks give you enough credit on that. Your remixes are amazing. So I know because you're such an amazing writer and you know, producer extraordinaire and all of that. But also the remixes that I've heard and that you've done. So this stems from being a great DJ down there in Florida. Where did that come from, that you have this ability to take these songs and literally reconstruct them, if you will, and turn out great, you know, tracks like that?
I think probably from being a DJ and also a musician, it helps too because, you know, I would see what works on the floor and then I kind of try to incorporate it into my mixes so that it keeps the floor dancing. Like when you hear Pointer Return, people just jump out of their chairs,
exactly.
Which is like, it would give me goosebumps. You know, I would just, I mean, I'm at the club sitting, you know, in the corner and then the DJ plays Pointer Return and I see people kind of like scream, get up and go to the dance floor and it's the best feeling in the world.
Yes, and that's when you really knew you had something. That song, wow. And I loved all of, I mean, Let Me Be the One, just, you know, Seasons Change, all of those amazing songs, I have to say. You know,
Thank you.
Yes, you're, please. You know, these are, it's not just me, it's, you know, big, big hit records out there. So now I have to also say, I love the lineup that you had, and by the time I got, you know, I think Joya, and I think you had mentioned was one of the leads in Jeanette and Anne. So I just love that lineup that you had at that time. I just thought, my goodness. So have you stayed in touch with these amazing women?
Yes, yes. Yeah, I talk to Joya all the time. The other girls are more, you know, in a different state and stuff, so I don't talk to them too much. But Joya, yeah, we keep in touch all the time. We actually worked on a couple of things together, you know, not too long ago. So I keep in touch with Joya mostly.
Wow. Now, you are still in the music game. You haven't left the music game. Let me just make that clear. So what can you tell us out there? What might we be able to look forward to, or, you know, anything you want to add to that?
Well, I'm working on several projects. I'm working on a song for the COVID relief. We're calling it for now, Son After the Rain, for now. And what I'm doing is kind of like trying to put together like a We Are the World kind of thing with a bunch of different artists. I got Larry Blackman from Cameo. Bernard from Surface.
We just had David on our show. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
Bernard Jackson from Surface, right. and a few rappers too, Tretch and Lazy Bone, and Lazy Bone, and then everybody's you know giving their time, you know, because they think you know it's good to try to help other people.
Absolutely.
Everybody's been very, very nice. Well, we're trying to get Gladys Knight on there, which I think we will. The Womack sisters.
Yes.
We already got Butch from Tavares.
Oh yes, yeah. Oh gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think they did the song "Heaven Must Be Missing." And I think that was one of Tavares.
That's the one. Yes, that was Tavares. Yes. Their biggest one was, though, the ballad, Remember What I Told You to Forget?
Oh, hold it. No, I don't. What was the biggest one?
That was their biggest hit. So Remember What I Told You to Forget.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. Well, listen, I just love them. I love all of these groups, and I'm just blown away, and I just wish you nothing but the best on these projects.
Thank you.
Yes, let us know how you're coming along with them, you know, and any folks that we could send in your direction, we will. We absolutely will.
Great, yeah. Thank you. I have a few little compilations that I did in the 80s that I have on iTunes, so I think you were going to check them out yourself. I don't know if you did. It was called Freestyle South Beach Style.
I think I checked out so much of your music that it's not even funny. I went to, I think I was on Spotify, I was on so many different things and looking at every single thing, and I listened to song after song, some of which I have to really say I had forgotten the titles, and then when I listened to them, I was like, yeah, I remember that song, and I remember that. Now, I do want to touch on one other part of this back in the day, because to me, you're working with Clive Davis or producing these albums and all of that. That, you know, he was, it might have been around the time he was working with Whitney and Aretha and all these big people.
Oh, yeah, it was
that
time.
Yeah, that was a big deal. I said, my goodness.
Clive Davis is a genius, you know, when it comes to putting projects together and teams together. Yeah, he's a genius.
Yeah, he's a genius. And Kashif? The late Kashif.
Kashif, I worked with him on a song. I did a song for him.
Exactly. I'm like, wow. So I know you don't like to be considered so much a legend out there, but you are. And I have to tell everybody, I mean, you know, of course, for me, I kind of stumbled across because I just love Seasons Change so much. It has never left anything for me, you know, not too long without playing it or every so often going back and listening. And I looked up the words, and I was just so moved by this. I mean, you're just, in order to write like that, it's got to come from somewhere. So we just love it. And, you know, and then to figure out that you had done all that you were responsible for writing an album. And I'm like, and I think I asked you about freestyle if you were familiar. I'm going to put myself out there on blast. Now I'm like, he's the king of freestyle. My God. And I just learned so much from reading and finding out and all of this wonderful good stuff. I love Stevie B. I love the whole entire genre and all that it represents. So good stuff. So, Louis, anything just to tell the folks, they're budding writers out there, budding songwriters. I'm one. I'm raising my hand right now. So what kind of advice can you give to someone like myself? You know, we've gotten lyrics. We've got the lyrics down, and I saw about, what advice? Let me just go there. What advice can you share in terms of how we should get started or the next step after you've got piles and piles of songs?
Well, what I kind of think about sometimes is that when you write songs, you tend to want to write them so deep and so great that you kind of like missing the audience. So what I try to tell everybody, just keep it simple, keep it catchy, keep it commercial, and then you'll get that magic in that song. In my albums, if you listen to them, you'll hear that I do very commercial songs. I try to at least. But then I throw in there a couple of songs, like you'll hear in the first album, you hear a song called December, and the second one you call Didn't Hurt to Hurt Me. Those are deeper songs that, that have a little bit more meaning, and I put them in there just for once people get tired of listening to the pop songs, then they can hear something that's a little deeper. But like I said, keep those for later, for if you want to break out, make it simple, make it very catchy, and make it commercial. Easy to follow. That's really what you got to do.
Doesn't get any better than that. All
yeah,
right.
A great person to listen to is Casey and the Sunshine Band. Their songs are so great and so catchy. That's why they're still being played in tons of movies
right.
and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Because they're just great, catchy songs,
Exactly.
And if you listen to those, then you'll get some good ideas.
That's right. I stumbled across a Casey and the Sunshine video maybe in the last 24 hours or so, and I stopped for a moment because it was so deep and just an amazing groove. But I still don't think that folks knew that this music that we'd be listening to it, decades later. And so
exactly.
Just blown away. Well, listen. Anything you want to leave us with today, Louis? I just have to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. Any shout-outs?
I listen to Hair Nation Morning Show every day. Hair Nation Morning Show.
Oh.
My favorite.
Well, listen, I appreciate that.
And I have to admit, I had a mullet in the 80s, so, maybe you could do something for me.
We'll talk. We'll definitely talk. Well, listen, the creator, the absolute creator of this amazing group and working with so many others, and we're, of course, talking about Exposé and so many others and writing those albums and just having so many hit records and just being a mega force in the freestyle movement, if you will, and also music in general and just really picking up, like you said, where disco kind of left off. Again, I want to thank you for being our guest on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we're going to still go out and listen to these songs, and we're going to have you back soon when your next project is out. So I want to thank you.
Yes, definitely.
All
you
right.
Got it.
Louis Martinet, thank you. Folks, right. My pleasure. Keep it right here. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
You love.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
This is Queen Treat, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Bond of the Sway's Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Clint Beast on the boom.
You niggas be tripping.
What up, bro? You rocking with Statewide Shit. I'm inviting everybody to take a look and listen to see what I got going on. You can catch me streaming on all music platforms under Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses. You can also find me on social media, Statewide Chip on Facebook, Statewide Chip Official on Instagram, and Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses on YouTube.
Just like the eyes are the window to the soul, the scalp is the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. The way to obtain it is with Stimulating Roots. Stimulating Roots will exfoliate and detoxify your scalp, promoting healthy hair growth. Stimulating Roots has a system to detoxify and grow your hair. Their shampoo combines menthol, camphor, and pink grapefruit essential oil to improve blood circulation in the scalp. Their conditioner, that stimulates, moisturizes, and hydrates the hair. The regeneration oil, that contains essential oils that work together to promote hair growth while calming an itchy, dry, and irritated scalp. Open the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. Awaken the senses to your scalp with Stimulating Roots. This is available at StimulatingRoots.com. That's StimulatingRoots, R-U-T-Z.com.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now my very special guest is a new addition to the Hair Radio Morning Show team. The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to welcome Lila the Goat. Good morning, Miss Lila.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes. And I have to say, happy risings and all that wonderful good stuff to you. This is a big day. This is the first time the listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show is actually meeting Miss Lila. So I'm so honored to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, and indeed, likewise.
Yes, Lila, we've got to start at the beginning because, first of all, I have to ask you, Lila the Goat. And this is L-Y-L-A, by the way. So tell us, how did you get the name Lila the Goat?
I gave it to myself because I'm self-proclaimed. I've been in this industry over 20 years, and I own it that I am one of the greatest of all time.
And when you say, okay, so that's what, for you guys out there who may not be familiar, when you see the G period, O period, A period, T, that is greatest of all time. That's what the goat stands for, okay? Not an actual, you know, animal, you know. So that's what we're talking about. Lila, I'm so honored to have you. You know, just catching up with one another through social media and listening and watching some of your amazing videos, you are one of those individuals who have so much information to share. You're like an amazing, like a personality already, just to, you know, just bubbling over to help folks navigate and to do things with their lives. And I'm just real excited to welcome you to the show. But let me ask you, what would you like to bring to the Hair Radio Morning Show team? What would you like to bring to us and to our fans?
I want to bring enlightenment on a non-boring level. I want to reel you in with knowledge that will help you escape the bondages of ignorance on every level. not just hair. We have a lot of things going on in society that need to be addressed. And again, the hair industry is included with that. You know, we got a lot of shenanigans going on in the hair industry.
Oh, send your letters to Lila the Goat, folks. Okay.
Please get your pens
ready.
Absolutely.
Well, Lila, I have to say, yes, and you know what, and I just joked, but I know that you're absolutely right. And this is why I say you are perfectly right for this, because we need somebody who can bring it, who can just go and when folks are asking, they're sending in those questions. I call it Ask Lila. They're sending in those questions and emailing them and going on the Salon TV Network app send in those questions that they want you to, you know, spin in your own individual way. I can't wait. I'm super excited about it. And I think
Neither can I.
I hear you. And the first thing I want to mention to everybody, to all of the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, is that we are so, so proud. We're kind of preparing for this big premiere next month. I don't want to say date and month and time just yet, but we will keep you informed. So you got to listen to the Hair Radio Morning Show each day. And we'll be bringing you the amazing Miss Lila, we call Lila the Goat, right here on our broadcast to share her unique, we call it unique wisdom, because I think it is. Lila, I got to start by talking to a little bit about your background. Now, where are you out of? Where are you based from and all that wonderful good stuff? Anything you can share with us this morning?
Yes, briefly. I was born on Staten Island, New York.
Yay, New York, all right.
Yes, I acquired my first ounce of, I'm going to call it, cosmetology culture in my spirit when I was about 6 years old.
Oh, tell us how.
So my grandmother would not buy toys for me when I was a little girl. She showed me how to make a doll baby out of the Joy dish washing liquid bottle showed me how to put the yarn on the top of the little ball and told me that's going to be your baby. And I'll be damned if I didn't make that my baby. That's how I learned how to braid, because I didn't have nothing else better to do, because she would not buy me toys. She would not spend her money on toys. Taught me how to make the dress, taught me how to sew the stitch to put the dress on, and showed me how to secure that hair onto that dishwashing liquid bottle. You know, the little Joy. Joy? We don't even see those anymore.
Wow.
Yep. And that's how I learned how to braid. And then I started braiding Talia Wajid's only baby sister's hair initially. She was the one that used to get her hair done by me for
and
school.
And Talia, she's super well known. She's like one of the leading hair entrepreneurs out there and has been for a while.
Yes.
We are big fans of hers at the Hair Radio Morning
Show. Absolutely.
Really good stuff. Wow.
Yes, hands down. Yeah, she taught me everything I know about how to secure that undetectable knot. That's very important, that high-priced undetectable knot that we have in the industry. A lot of ladies that, you know, that are not doing now, but it's okay. And moving beyond that, I attended Kenneth Schuler School of Cosmetology here in the South. I also attended Baltimore Studio School of Hair Design in Baltimore, Maryland. Came to South Carolina, got reciprocity here, and pretty much have covered, I want to say, pretty much 85% of the industry, from hair color, hair cutting, braiding, weave,
the gamut.
Natural hair care, makeup, lashes, facials, pedicures, nails, you name it. There's pretty much nothing that I haven't done, even professionally, under the license.
Well, Lila, the other thing I wanted to say, and I know that pedicures really jump out for some reason. Why is that? You love pedicures.
Oh.
Why? What? Tell us about that love for pedicures.
I'm addicted. I've grown to be addicted to it. I have a fetish with what most would want to call ugly, dirty, dry, crusty, fungus-infected foot, you know, even though
I'm bringing you right to New York City. I know exactly where to take you, and you can have all the crusty feet you like.
Ooh, I love that. Love that. No. But I was just going to mention that, you know, as licensed cosmetologists, we're not technically, it's against the law for us to diagnose fungus, but, you know what I'm saying. and so give me that so that I can transform it into a work of art.
Well, I have to tell you, as I have mentioned, and we're shouting out Dr. Ragland this morning, we want to certainly gotta connect you guys because she's our foot expert here as well on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Lila the Goat, I've got to say I'm so excited to welcome you again. If you guys are just joining us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and with me on the line today is a new contributor to our broadcast that we are so happy to have you in the family of Hair Radio and to be sharing your advice and wisdom each week. Now, you're going to have your own 30-minute segment coming up very soon. We're going to keep you guys informed on that. And in the meanwhile, you'll be joining us with panel discussions and dropping some wonderful nuggets of information on us with your unique perspective. So we're going to keep you guys informed. Lila, anything you'd like to shout out? Anybody you want to shout out to this morning?
I just would like to just give love to all of the people all over the world, for everyone. I'm not leaving anybody out. All the, even the babies that ain't even born yet. I just want to give you love and just a Corona, COVID-19 hug and kiss.
Awesome. Well, I have to say, Lila the Goat, thank you so very much for being with us. Much appreciated. And we look forward
Likewise.
To your new broadcast. Okay.
Thank you.
You got it. All right, folks, keep it right here. There's a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to come. Stay with us.
But radio commercials as much as they do television commercials?
Maybe more so.
How do you figure that?
Well, in television, your tube goes a minute just before the commercial comes on.
Yeah?
That serves as a warning device to millions of people that they have a split second to get out of the room.
I never thought of that.
In radio, an advertiser can just sort of sneak up on you without any warning.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you haven't noticed your car radio suddenly fading to black before the commercial, I mean.
And not recently, no. But can't you still walk out when the radio commercial comes on?
Not at 60 miles an hour.
Hmm. Okay, but do you think you can really make me pay attention to a radio commercial?
I just did.
Hi, I'm Jossie from Jossie's All Natural. Have you been struggling with keeping your natural hair healthy or desire to achieve substantial hair growth? Then Jossie's All Natural is here to help you. My natural creams, conditioners, lotions, hair mists, balms, shampoos, and detanglers are gentle enough for the whole family and all hair types. Not only do I provide natural hair products, I also give step-by-step techniques to ensure healthy hair in a pure and gentle fashion, from roots to ends. Come on and visit me at www.jossiesallnatural.com. That's JossiesAllNaturale.com for a true natural hair experience like you've never had before.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Ragland, Yolanda Ragland at fixyourfeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has two locations, one in New York City and the other in Maryland. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing Troy Ballard, of course, from the West Coast out in Southern California. His company is called Smooth Black Ink. Now, he offers the very, very best in hair care for the entire family. He is a legendary hairstylist and educator. And also,
He's the program host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We just appreciate him again. That's Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black of Smooth Black Ink. Also, we are talking about a complete line of products for the guys now. It's at Rugged Evolution. Now, Rugged Evolution Beard Care is the actual name of the company. Rugged Evolution Beard Care makes a complete line. I love their products. Go to www.ruggedevo.com for more details. Again, that's ruggedevo, that's EVO.com for complete details on their products. Also, StimulatingRoots.com. Now, Stimulating Roots is a hair product growth system for women, for everybody, really. And how they spell it, I love this, it's R-U-T-Z. Get amazing hair products that supports healthy hair. And I say the secret is in their name, Stimulating Roots. That's really it. That's what actually grows the hair. Now, we're also taking a moment. Go to their site, StimulatingRoots.com. Again, it's spelled R-U-T-Z is how they spell Roots.com. Now, we're also thanking our entire advertising and promotions family for introducing our show fans to their great products and services. And you will find many of them right here in our website store at www.hairadio.com. That's hairradio.com, spelled with just one R. Now, it's also been our honor to welcome our amazing Hair Radio Morning Show fans from coast to coast in the United States and North America to continents all around the world. Our many friends and family, folks over in Ghana, South Africa, Nigeria, Egypt, and our folks across the diaspora of Africa, of course. Now, we're also thanking our big fan base in Europe, folks over in Italy, Spain, France, England, and really all over there, to folks back here, right here in America, folks who join me from all different time zones. I broadcast from right here in Brooklyn, New York. The show is live from 6 in the morning to 9 Eastern. Again, that's Monday through Friday. So we're on the East Coast, and we're reaching folks who tune in from the Central Time Zone, from out in the West Coast Time Zone, and we are just honored, and we thank you. From New York to L.A., and from, you know, from Boston to Miami, Florida. So we just love you guys, whether you're in Texas, Chicago, wherever you are, you can tune into this broadcast. And again, we thank all of our amazing fans, and to the island. We haven't forgotten about you folks. We thank you. We welcome you. We appreciate your participation in our broadcast. Now, it's been my honor to pay tribute to some of our amazing guests also who join me right here for live interviews, including the biggest story in the whole country was all about Tessica Brown and the Gorilla Glue. Well, we had the very doctor, the miracle doctor, Dr. Obeng, right here on our show, all the way from Beverly Hills, California. He told us all about the incident. Also, I had a chance to chat with Beyonce's dad, Mr. Matthew Knowles. Madam C.J. Walker's great-great-granddaughter, Lilia Bundles, was on with us. Also, and that was before she was on the Netflix show. I also wanted to mention, or before she created that, the book sponsored her show on Self-Made on Netflix. You guys know what I'm talking about. And from the famous Bronner Brothers family, we had one of the Bronner Brothers on. Bernard Bronner was my very special guest recently as well. Now, I had a chance to interview many, many folks from the world of music as well, of course, like Grammy winners Dionne Warwick, Gerald Austin from the Manhattans, to Broadway Tony Award-winning legends like the one and only music icon as well, Miss Melba Moore, to singers like Cece Tennyson, Allison Williams, Tony Terry, Lenny Williams, to other hair industry superstars like Kim Berry. You guys know she was the hairstylist to super legendary singer Prince for about 29 years. So we take music seriously on our daily broadcast, and we play some of your favorite songs or mine.
as well right here on our show. And each show, we kind of use that to kind of encase each broadcast. Now, also remember to visit our website. We've got two. One is hairradio.com. That's spelled HAIradio.com with one R. So there you can shop. We have a big website store. But more importantly, we have our 24 hours, 7 days a week radio network there where you can click the play button and listen 24 hours a day all the time. We feature original hair and beauty content, new radio shows, music, classic broadcasts, so much more. Please visit hairradio.com for that. Then our second website is our event website. Now we put all of our event information right there. It's called HairNationExpo.biz. So let me just